Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. You know Darren, the seaside golf capital of the world. Darren Bunch out there on the western edge in California, in Bakersfield, California, home of the beautiful Sundale Country Club. Darren, good to be with you. We got a great, great show today because, as you and I know, golf is about fun. And you went on what I think is one of the most, sounds like, because I didn't actually participate in the competition, one of the most fun group of days with the most fun group of guys that you could play golf with. And that, of course, I'm referring to the now iconic Bummidge Smoys Cup, which was played in Pinehurst in North Carolina. And we have the one and only Jason Moyes with us.
Yeah, and it was a fun trip, but I'm not entirely sure how fun this podcast is going to be. obviously, I have talked a lot of crap about the Bummidge Smoys Cup. I have talked about the annihilation at Bandon Dunes, the devastation at Bandon Dunes, the beatdown at Bandon Dunes many, many times. And this was the Smoys team's revenge here in North Carolina. And we've invited Jason on to, talk about it and kind of get his side of the story. So this will be an interesting episode, especially because you and Jason now are just going to gang up and just batter me, I think, for the next about 20 minutes.
That'd be so great. I can't wait. But before we do that, before the bunch bashing begins, we're glad you found us. GolfNewsNet.com, iTunes Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Of course, Darren, you can...
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, we used to always Audio Boom. We used to go Audio Boom.
Correct.
And now I think we should do that with Stitcher. So just for no reason, when you get to Stitcher, we should just go Stitcher.
How about if we go iTunes Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher.
I like all that.
It's all good. Darren, to continue. Darren, you can find on social media at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram. You can find me on both at Mitch Lawrence, LauranceE. And before we get to one of the two champions of the Bummidge Smoys Cup, Jason, we want to first mention our great sponsor for this podcast, and that, of course, GoGolfKauai.com. I love saying it. I can't wait to get back there. It's never a bad time to talk about the islands. We love Hawaii. Our friends at GolfPackagePros.com, they've launched a brand new golf packaging site, and it's going to help you with everything you need for your next great golf getaway to our favorite Hawaiian island, and that's the truth. Darren and I have talked about this. Kauai it is, Darren.
Oh, we love Kauai, and even Jason has been to Kauai, although I don't think he's played any golf there. He did have a hole-in-one in Hawaii, though. We might have to ask him about that at some point, maybe in the Emergency 9 episode. But back to Kauai, our friends at GoGolfKauai.com. You can book from five different golf courses. You've got Hokuala, Poipu Bay, Princeville Mackay, Puakea, and Wailua. You can choose from three great places to stay. Courtyard Kauai at Coconut Beach, which I always say just sounds yummy. The Kauai Marriott Resort, which is next door to Hokuala, and the Grand Hyatt Kauai, one of my favorite places to stay. In fact, I think it was in my top 18 favorite places to stay when we did those episodes.
It absolutely was. And the site, just the image of you going down a water slide, I think would, well, it would keep me away, but hopefully a lot of people will go to the Courtyard Kauai at Coconut Beach.
It's like sending an albino whale down a giant water chute.
Which everybody, of course, wants to see.
Yeah, we should put it on video.
I know, I do.
It could probably go viral.
Okay, and of course, I meant the Grand Hyatt Kauai, not the Courtyard Kauai at Coconut Beach, which if you say it's yummy one more time, we're going to have to cut you off. I know Jason agrees with me. All right, here's how you do it. Golf Package Pros, the team there, family-run operation, great people. GoGolfKauai.com, you're going to get great service and real assistance, expert assistance in building that great trip for you and certainly for your family. So go to GoGolfKauai.com today.
Today.
All right. let us get to the one, the only, Jason, who is waiting patiently while we are going through all our stuff. I got a chance to meet Jason in Pinehurst for an iconic dinner in my book, because he did nothing but rub your face in whatever you were eating at that dinner at 1895. We'll talk about that. Darren, I know you were excited to have Jason on to bring back such great memories of the Bummidge Smoys Cup.
Well, it seems like on that that dinner at 1895 Grill there in Pinehurst, I believe the cup made an appearance. It seems like Jason brought the cup and made it the centerpiece of our table, which I expect nothing less from him. Jason, it's good to have you on the show. I guess I'll just sit back and let you and Mitch abuse me.
Before we get rolling, Jason, you there?
I am here.
Are you speechless at what you've had to listen to so far?
I'm running through which comments are appropriate to say on air, and Darren's given me way too many opportunities to think of those.
Okay, well, everything is appropriate on this air, just so you know.
Perfect.
Okay, good. Before we get started, I want to once again, and we have talked about the Bummidge Smoys Cup on earlier podcasts. We talked about the great formats that you guys played. We'll talk about that again. But for the listener who, shame on them, may have missed those podcasts, just refresh our memory about how it came to be called the Bummidge Smoys Cup.
Yeah, well, a few years ago, a group of four of us, Darren and his partner Chad, and myself and my partner Michael, who's also my brother-in-law, began traveling around the area and playing golf together. And as it goes with most men, we were unhappy with just playing golf. We had to make it competitive, and then we had to try to go a step further and make it personal. And so we developed the competition known as the Bummidge Smoys Cup, which now Bummidge Smoys, the name is kind of a formality. It should just be called the Smoys Cup.
Oh, boy.
The reason it's named that way is a combination of the last names of the two teams. Bunch and Ramage make up Bummidge, and Smee and Moyes make up Smoys. And so that has has developed into, actually, there's two cups. I don't think Darren's shared the other cup, which he is the proud owner of. There is the Bummidge Smoys Cup, and then there is the Shankers Cup, which is a much, much smaller, very diminutive cup that's been collecting dust on Darren and Chad's desks lately. But the those who aspire to the cup get to hold that as incentive to up their game just a little bit.
All right, that sounds great. I want to find out. Let's talk Pinehurst. It's a best of seven series here among the four participants. Darren talked about the beatdown at Bandon and every other name he came up with. But by the looks of this Bummidge Smoys Cup in Pinehurst, it was pretty much of the reverse. So tell us about how it went.
Yeah, the main difference between the two trips, I would say, is that we still had a chance in Bandon to win at the end. The North Carolina trip was pretty much over before it started. Darren and I were able to go out a day early and thankfully got one of Darren's best putting days out of his system, which was very strategic on our part. And we got to enjoy Tobacco Road for four rounds on 2 days, and we played four different formats, I believe, at that course. And we walked away from Tobacco Road up 3-1, and we went on to Pinehurst the next day, started off on Pinehurst number 8 to a very rough start, and pulled it together and sealed the cup on the 18th hole at Pinehurst number 8 to take the cup 4-1.
So it was over after five matches in reality.
Technically, yes.
Let's clarify a few things, please. First of all, had a chance at the end at Bandon is really one of those interpretation type of things. We
scored it much differently.
It was mathematically possible if Chad and I had not teed it up in the final round, because we led by something like 35 shots heading into the final round. So, I mean, I don't want people to think this was the Bummidge Smoys Cup in North Carolina was much closer. It was one of the first times since we started kind of testing all these new formats that we had any matches go to the 18th hole. And in fact, four of the five matches came down to the 18th. The only one that we won was because I rolled in a monster putt on the 18th at Tobacco Road. But it was a fun time, at least, although I didn't feel like I was having that much fun as I was losing.
Yeah, but if four or five matches came down to the 18th hole, I mean, I don't know what more you could ask. They weren't blowouts. The formats obviously worked if it was that close for the most part. It sounds brilliant to me.
Yeah, and a reminder.
And that's mostly because Jason won.
Well,
but it's brilliant.
Obviously, but a reminder to people who haven't heard the other ones, and as you said, shame on them. We played four different formats. We've always played a kind of a traditional high-low where basically a four ball, but two-man teams where high ball against high ball, against low ball, every hole is worth 2 points. But we added these other team events. So we played a two-man scramble in which everybody had to use 9 tee shots, which is, I think, a great wrinkle to the scramble format because it really makes you start counting and thinking about your tee shots and who's used what. We played the Scotch foursomes. Everybody tees off. You play alternate shot from there. We played the Chapman format, which we have a number of different names for. Basically, everybody tees off. You play your partner's ball on the second shot, and then you play a scramble in from the best of the shots from there. So, I mean, there are a lot of good formats. And as you mentioned, and Jason plays Hickories now. He didn't play Hickories at Bandon, which I think says a lot about Hickories, that that he was able to win with Hickories when he couldn't possibly win with regular golf clubs. His partner still plays with regular golf clubs, which obviously is an advantage. And Chad and I both play with Hickories, but the formats did work and the system works. And I think we've kind of got onto something that we will continue to use this kind of system for years and years and years to come, as long as I don't take my life if we lose again.
And that might be a whole other Bummidge Smoys Cup. If you do, because who knows who would be playing at that point.
How's your ashes, Darren?
He'll probably take him back to.
All right, Jason. So of the formats, what was your favorite format?
You know, and you can please edit this out later, Darren, but I have to give you credit for the development of some of these formats and incorporating them into the competition, because like you said, and Mitch, you touched on this too, is it made the trip enjoyable instead of a straight stroke play tournament where, like at Bandon, someone could end up 30 strokes behind and it's essentially over and you're still there for 3 more days. The formats really kept it close. It incorporated strengths and weaknesses from each player and each team. And like Darren said, just the fact that these all came down to the 18th hole says a lot for the parity that creates and the fun and excitement that can put into a golf trip. So having said that, I think the best combination of formats was the modified hybrid fluid Chapman that we played, that required it took some of the tee shot out of play, but it also incorporated the alternate shot and some scramble. It was just to me, I think that was the best format, the funnest format that we played.
And explain that one a little bit. Just tell us what that, the Chapman.
Everybody tees off, then you hit your opponent's, you hit your partner's, your teammate's shot for your second shot. And then from there, you pick the best one and scramble from there.
And that, I think that was the most equalizing format. My partner hits a very long ball, he plays with modern clubs and he can hit the ball farther than Hickory clubs. So, but then having to take a Hickory approach from there, especially mine sometimes, very much equaled out, the play from, you know, 150 in on most of those holes, which I think made it a very close, exciting match.
I think we should say a word about your partner as well. Michael Smee, we've mentioned him before on the show. He is a good player, and he, like you said, can hit it a long way. But in this case, for the Bumage Smoys North Carolina trip, Jason really carried the team. The team doesn't win without Jason probably playing his best golf of his entire life, hickories or not. And really, he just had Michael on his back the entire time, just carrying him along.
Jason, it sounds like you've got Bunch right where you want him.
Hold on, I'm picking myself up off the floor right now. Hold on.
Yeah, I figured that.
So you really do edit these things quite a bit, don't you? Because I know that's not making it on air. All joking aside, Darren and I were clearly the A players that week on each of our teams. I've still got bruises from Michael hanging on for 5 days. But it was one of those days that I think my wedge, my niblick, I should say, I felt like I could perform magic with that for a couple of days. I felt like I could have summoned unicorns. I felt like I could do anything with that club, and that's rare with that club. But I really think that that's the club that for some reason clicked with me for a couple of days and pulled our team out of a few hairy moments.
I believe that's the first time in all my experience with hickories that I've heard the words niblick and unicorn in the same sentence.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but
I'm going to start calling my niblick my unicorn. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, good. That should really draw people to playing with hickories.
Jason, do you have a favorite story from the trip? My guess would it might be of what happened between my partner and I on the 14th hole, well into the trip there at Tobacco Road. But if that's not your favorite, did you have a favorite moment of the trip, other than, of course, every time on the 18th when you won?
Yeah, that was clearly the best part of the trip. on 14, a par 3. And we're trying everything we can to give you guys that hole. I put my first ball in the water. Michael put his in a parking lot. I think it was two counties over. And I think you guys both hit the green. And
I hit it in the water first and then hit the green. And I think Chad hit the green as well.
You're correct. So naturally, we assumed the hole was done. We did what we could to get back on and put a ball in the hole. Meanwhile, you decided to test the every square inch of the green and blew a couple putts past the hole. I think on your sixth shot, remember this is a par 3, on your sixth shot where you blew it past the hole again, your partner's comment was something like, "Wow," audibly loud, which with the tension that was there, I think anybody would have known you just don't say anything. And I'm not sure whether the wow was at the shot, at you, at the fact that you guys pushed the hole, but your reaction to him was priceless as you're stomping past him and the hole to go back to a putt, which is the same length as the one you had just hit. Your comment, something about wow, doesn't help, just so you know. And
what teamwork. I think the hard,
exactly. Teamwork. I've faced a lot of challenges in life, but trying to keep from falling on the ground laughing at that moment was probably one of the more difficult ones that I've ever faced.
What I love about the fact that it took place on that hole is that that hole is probably the most photographed at Tobacco Road, one of the most serene, beautiful golf holes you'll ever play anywhere. And just this one story has turned it into some kind of monstrous battlefield of irony.
And Jason doesn't do it justice. Exactly how it sounded, Mitch, was when I said, just so you know, wow, doesn't help me. That's about the way I said it to Chad.
I've been around some of those bunch comments, so I could feel it here.
Needless to say, the cart ride to 15 was quiet, very quiet. And really, when I look back on it, I mean, that's where it all went awry, because Michael, probably the one really good shot Michael hit the entire, you know, trip that wasn't, you know, something that Jason hit, was he chipped in on the next hole, and it was all downhill from there. We thought we had that match in hand, and we thought we would get all the way to Pinehurst number two and have a chance, which it turns out we would have, because the way those guys played Pinehurst number two was atrocious. So it all turned around there because I couldn't putt. So all right, let's Jason, you were a Tobacco Road newbie. Give us your impressions of the golf course, because it certainly isn't like most of what you play here in Central California.
Okay, so I will admit I went in Tobacco Road skeptical. When someone recommends a TV show or movie to me and they say it's the best one ever, I instantly don't like it without ever having seen it. And so when Darren went raving about Tobacco Road and then said, we're going to play that four times in 2 days, I thought about making other plans for the week. But driving into Tobacco Road, I still had those feelings all the way up until the first tee, and playing that first hole at Tobacco Road, where you have about I think it's 4 inches of a gap to hit the ball through. It's an intimidating course, to say the least, but we played four rounds there in 4 days, and it never felt like the same golf course. It was different than any other course I'd ever played. And so I think some of my thoughts on it are that the way that they set up the tee box, first of all, the way the course is designed, there are no typical golf holes. I was talking to a buddy of mine, and Pinehurst kind of helped define Tobacco Road for me, in that you can go to a champion course and say, what does this hole do? Well, it goes a little right, or it goes a little left, or it's a long par three, or this is an uphill par five. I mean, you can describe it in pretty general terms. There are no terms to describe your typical hole at Tobacco Road. There just aren't. Each one is its own challenge to conquer. And you have to experience it, I think, to really understand what I mean by that. But playing the course, and with our format too, we change tee boxes every hole. You can go from all the way to the front, all the way to the back. And so we didn't ever play the course from a tee box. And I don't feel like we played the same course four times. I feel like we played four different courses. And it is such a unique course from anything else I've ever played. It quickly jumped to the top of my list as far as courses that I could play over and over and over again.
It's so great to hear you say that. Darren and I obviously have had a lot of discussions about Tobacco Road. There's to a lot of people, it can be a polarizing golf course, but I think one of the great things you found out, even though you ripped the idea of Darren doing four rounds there, you started to really feel what both of us feel, which is that every time you play it, you fall more in love with it. And it's a big piece of what was great about what you guys did. A lot of people go one time, and it's kind of difficult. It can be overwhelming the first time, but with every playing, you just have a new appreciation. At least we think you do, a new appreciation for what Mike Stranz did there.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's definitely a brilliantly designed course, and it's not a course where I haven't played some of the great, great courses in the world, but I've played some great courses. And even the great ones, you sit there and you think, oh, hole number three, you know, 7, 14, those are great holes. And then there are some holes that are just there, it appears, kind of filler holes to get you to the spectacular ones. Tobacco doesn't have any filler holes. Every single one in and of itself would be a signature hole on any course, in my opinion. Just in the layout, in those canyons that I swear feel like they're 100 feet deep when you're inside them, to just everything about it. It's such a challenging course and such a well laid out and well designed course. It just makes it fun to play no matter what tee box you're at.
You know, we kind of finished the trip with Pinehurst number two, and then we played Southern Pines on the last day. But talk about the, I don't know if compare and contrast is the right word, but Pinehurst number two is such a different experience, but it's still a classic historic golf course that's been restored by Coren Crenshaw. But just the experience at Pinehurst, the clubhouse, people sitting out on the chairs, having a drink, the fact that everybody cheers when people are hitting shots into the 18th, our buddy Chad hit just a phenomenal shot out of the sand, about 200 out, something like that, to the green and got cheered. Just talk a little bit about your feelings about being at Pinehurst.
Yeah. So Pinehurst too it's just an iconic course. You're playing a course with such a legacy and such a heritage behind it that you can't help but think about that as you're teeing off on the first hole and walking those fairways and starting to think about the other people who have walked there. And then yes, of course, walking up into 18 and having people watch for the first time in my life, golf shots going into that.
Well, if you're going to do it for the first time, it might as well be at number two.
Exactly. That's true. That's true. And just kind of getting to experience and watching Michael too. Michael is, like I said, we've mentioned that he can hit the ball a little bit. He played from the back and watching a what would normally be a spectacular driver struggle like he did on that course is just a testament to really what those professionals and those types can do on that course and how difficult it is. In a course that is kind of looks deceptively simple. There's fairways and wasteland that you can hit out of, so it doesn't look like it should be that difficult. But it ends up just being such a challenging course that the greens are impeccable. They're difficult, but you can't help but even as you're playing and struggling in this course is eating your lunch. You can't help but be taken back by the feeling of what you were getting to be a part of. I don't know how to say it any better than just saying it's kind of an honor to play there. You get to experience something that very, very few people have experienced in the past. And it's just an iconic experience.
How cool to hear you say all of it. And I know you guys had a great trip. This is really what Talking Golf Getaways is about, is the kind of trip that you all took and the experiences that you had. And the fact that you beat Bunch it's kind of icing on the proverbial yum-yum, as far as I'm concerned. So we'll leave it there. We're going to get to an emergency nine with you. I know we're anxious to hear about some of the other places you played and enjoyed and stayed and what you've eaten, and all kinds of surprises are going to come up on the emergency nine. But thanks, Jason Moyes, for sharing this Bummage Smoys memory. Darren, once he gets out from under his desk and stops cowering, I'm sure we'll be back for the emergency nine, but we're glad you've been with us. Hope it was fun talking about it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, Darren, as always, we want to thank our sponsor, Go Golf Kauai. com, and it's brought to you by the great folks at Golf Package Pros. And of course, couldn't do it without you, the listeners. Hit us up on Twitter, Darren at Getaways Golf, me at Mitch Lawrence, or you can use hashtag Talking Golf Getaways, hashtag Emergency 9, or as we all know, hashtag Two Haggis Bags to get our attention. And that is what, Darren, what do you think about having hashtag Bummage Smoys?
Oh, I think it would be trending just in a matter of minutes on Twitter.
And just so you know, in case you do use it, Bumage, capital Smoyes, Bummage Smoys. The cup, forget the Ryder Cup, forget the Solheim Cup, forget the President's Cup. The cup to have is the Bummage Smoys. Congratulations to Jason Moyes and Mike Smith. All right, if you enjoy us, share us on your social media, rate us on iTunes. We're just trying to spread the word about the best in golf travel. I'm Mitch Lawrence for Darren Bunch and our pal, Jason Moyes, thanks for being with us. Keep running down your own dream, just like the Bummage Smoyes Cup. Take it away, Tom Petty.
I hope nobody shares this episode.